Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
I hope you're all as excited as I am to be here.
Yes.
I want to say this is our second great event. People say, well, what's the first great event? The fact that we all decided to start worshiping together and do God's Word. And now we've moved into a semi-permanent location because I see us growing. Mm-hmm. And my next three lessons, before I hand it off to the next speaker, is going to be on evangelism. And this morning, we're talking about the Great Commission. You know, when we are growing up, what's the first thing they ask all the young people? What do you want to be? What do you want to do? And we get really focused on that. And as we come into adult lives, most of us all have jobs that we go to every day. And we think that's our purpose. You know, I'm a firefighter, not me personally. Or I'm a police officer. Or I dig ditches. Or we have to have ditches. But we all feel like we have a purpose and that our purpose is our job. Well, we've talked about in the past what our real purpose is, and that's serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. That means I go to church. It means I pray. It means I worship. Well, the Great Commission happens at the end of Matthew, the end of the gospel. Christ is being called home. And I'm reading from Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's specifically giving us a job. We have a task. I've heard people say, you know, that's not me. I'm not good at talking to one another. Well, you imagine, you know, I've shared with you, I went through some changes. I've always been in IT, and I've kind of said, you know, that's what I am. I'm good at computers, and that was why I went to work for AT&T, and the company restructures and changes, and they've, you know, now told me I'm a lineman. I've got to dig ditches and climb poles, get stung by bees. What if I said to them, you know what? That's not me. I just don't feel like that. I'm not going to do that. Would I have a job very long? Probably not. Jesus has given us a job. He's told us what we're to do. And we see in these passages that we have power. We have a responsibility. The Great Commission's, like I said, it's at the end of the gospel. It's a personal instruction to Christians. If we have profound faith in Jesus, he's given us the authority, and he's made it a commitment for us. This verse acts as a clear claim to Christ's omnipotence, and therefore his deity. If Christians do not believe in the statement, complete faith doesn't exist. Jesus is very clear about his authority in the Word, and its complete and total beginning of time itself. If you look at John 1:1-3, you see that Jesus was there in the beginning. He was the Word that we read of in Genesis. Jesus gives his believers specific instructions to follow after they have affirmed their faith. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Jesus calls on his followers to act and share the good news of salvation throughout the world. People hear this calling and travel each year on missionary trips, sacrifices, traveling to remote regions of the world and beyond the civilized cities in the jungles and deserts. Mission fields can also be very close to home. It could be a neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be a coworker. In the 21st century, the internet has become a mission field where people can reach out and share Christ's love. The places where people need to hear the gospel are everywhere. I've been amazed. I don't know how many of you look closely at our website, but we use our website, and last week there was 3 days we averaged over 100 people, unique people visited our website. Mm-hmm. Now, this could have been what we call web crawlers, things looking to see what we're about. I know that our YouTube channel, which is linked through our website, we have on average 5 to 8 people who listen to the message in its entirety. So we are reaching people. But we are called as individuals to also reach people. In verse 20, Jesus provides specific direction with affirmation to his followers, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christians are instructed to teach others about Jesus Christ and the entirety of his truth. We can't profess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord while rejecting certain of his teachings. As we teach the fact that he has proven trustworthy throughout the centuries, as millions of believers have heard, accepted, and shared the good news of Jesus Christ, Christ has ascended back to heaven, but he presented the power of the Holy Spirit to every believer. And that's something we need to realize when we're out talking to others. It's not just us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been somewhere and really not known what to say and then been amazed? Look what the Holy Spirit did to Peter on the day of Pentecost. There are people today that talk about speaking in tongues, which I always kind of think is funny because I ask them what language they're speaking in, and they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, when we read the Bible, there were people from all nations. And if we had people here that, you know, there's a lot of Spanish in our area, and if they heard me in Spanish, I would definitely be speaking in tongues, because you can hear I can barely do English. We have to have faith and believe, and it is difficult. The Great Commission, Jesus calls every Christian to step out in faith and spread the good news, and it is good news. I mean, what better news can there be than we have hope of eternal life? And the approach isn't always the same, and we're going to go into that in the next couple weeks of different ways we can do this. Some people, you have to play the long game. And by that, I mean, if you see someone who's really opposed to Christianity and the way they're living their life, while it may be true, it's not effective to go up to them and go, you are going to burn in hell. You are a sinner. They don't accept that they're a sinner. They have to see through things, and you have to live by an example. And that example's hard. I think the worst thing that could be said to any of us at Judgment Day, if a coworker or friend comes up and says, I didn't know you were a Christian. How hard would that hurt? And it's difficult. I mean, we've all been there. You've had coworkers making jokes about inappropriate things, and you laugh. You have people say things, talk about doing things, and you chime right in. It's hard to stand up and say lovingly and politely, I don't agree with that. So it's not sharing, it's telling people we're better than them, but it's telling them that we have a solution, that there's love, that Jesus is there for us. While spreading the good news to a neighbor or moving to another country to reach people there, you could be sharing Jesus with fortunate kids down the street and spreading the word in a town 2 hours away. Wherever we go, every Christian is compelled through obedience to share the gospel. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, where has he called you to go? Who has he put on your heart to share the gift of salvation? What small or large steps can you take with the knowledge that Jesus Christ will be by your side? I love my family and friends, and I want them to know Jesus. But sometimes it's hard. What if they make fun of me? What if I'm not accepted? We know when we read the Bible that the apostles' lives weren't easy. In the first century, they risked being killed. I don't think we have that risk today. We may be scorned. People may say, I can't accept that. There is no such thing as God. But there's not very many of us that are going to have members of our family pulled out, dipped in oil and led on fire, fed to lions, killed for sport. I mean, really, we live in a good day. It does happen in some places in the world, but here in America, we're pretty safe. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And I read this verse to you to say that they're not going to always accept what you say. Sometimes when you do things, they're going to make fun of you. And that's what I'm talking about, when I talk about the long game. You've got to look for those instances. You've got to look for instances. People turn to God when they're hurting, like we've all been doing. They rarely win the lottery and go, first thing I'm doing is going to church. They need to feel God. And you need to look for those opportunities when they're down, when they're hurting, to put their arm around them. And not just say, I'm here for you, but Jesus is here for you. And it's hard. I mean, when people are going through struggles at work, we need to reach out. And I think if you read the New Testament, you see that that's one of the reasons the gospel spread so fast. Here was a group of people that could have easily escaped torture and torment. Yet, they kept telling people about the gospel, about what Jesus had just done for them, at great personal risk. And not only were they taking great personal risk, these people were selling everything they had. Not giving 10% in the communion plate. Oh, there's a need over there? I'm going to sell my house. I'm going to sell my property. I don't think any of them sold autos, so I'm not sure they had any of those back then. Maybe a camel or two. And if you saw someone who was willing to give everything they had up to help others, would that not make an impression on you? Would that not wake you up? And that's part of how we spread the gospel. We need to be unique. Are we the most loving people? Even when you tell people they're doing something wrong, you can do it in a loving way. I know that's hard for me. Me and Bruce are probably a lot alike on that stuff. It's easier for me to say, you're wrong, and you better straighten up. And I don't know about you, but I've never taken that very well. It's, you know, my wife's much better at doing that, putting their arm around someone and saying, hey, you know what, there's a better way. Let me show you an easier way. And, you know, that's something I struggle with every day, is try to be more Christ-like. Matthew 13:19. Anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart, and the seed is sown along the path. I've heard people use scriptures like this to say, well, we don't really have to tell people. You know, today in this age, the gospel's everywhere, the Bible's readily known, but we do. And it's not for us to determine what's good and what's bad. We have to constantly be praying for people, that they open their eyes. Look for that opportunity. In Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and place among those who are sacrificed by faith in me. There's always a point in everybody's life that they're available. And we've got to be looking for that. I want you to learn to preach through your lifestyle. We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. What are you doing in the community to help and give back? What are you doing for an example? A couple times in my life, lived somewhere where we're in the HOA, had an HOA, and I usually, not necessarily for the right reason, always tried to get on the board so I could get control of it, because people get crazy. And they do stuff like, would call me and say, I was over at Betty's house, and she has a flower pot on her porch that's 10 inches. And you know, it says 8 inches is the maximum. And you're like, really? You're calling me about a 2-inch flower pot? Or they call me and say, Glenn's yard is 3 inches too tall. Yes. And I was like, incredulous, you literally took a measure over there. And one time I said to the person, I said, you know what? You're right. His yard is too tall. I don't know if you know, he had a heart attack last week and he's in the hospital. So I tell you what, since you're concerned, I appreciate that. Let's go over there and cut their yard. And that's what we need to learn to do. And I'm just telling you a few good moments in my life. There's a lot of times I've been the grouch. And say, how do you turn this opportunity into something to show kindness and show love? And that's part of spreading the message. We don't all have to knock on doors. All I will tell you, I was very fortunate in my life. My father, at a very young age, I was probably not 7 or 8, took us knocking on doors, learning to invite people to VBS and the church. And when you learn the boldness of to be bold for Christ, you'll be amazed where it gets you in this world. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light the lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So you may say, you know, Jeff, I'm just not comfortable stopping and talking to someone about Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, it's like anything else. It's practice. If I said, you know what, we're going to all start running. The world record's 3 minutes and 58 seconds. I might not be right. Don't look. I'm not quoting you exact. None of us would start near there. But one thing I know is once you practice, you get better and better and better. There's no one that's in the Olympics that we just watched that showed up there for the first time and said, I'll be an Olympian. I bet I could win the gold medal. We all know it took hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of dedication and practice. And our life through Christ is the same way. We have to be dedicated. So one way to start, I know most of us like to eat out. Anybody here doesn't like to eat out? Is just say a prayer. Most people realize when you bow your head, you're saying a prayer. And I've actually had someone in a restaurant come up to me who just watched me pray and said, you believe in God? And the first time I did, I almost wanted to say, what? No, not me. Because it takes courage and it's hard. And I was ashamed of myself. I did talk to him, but I was ashamed of myself because I found it difficult at first to stand up and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. What can I answer about that? And I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard until it becomes second nature for you. People are curious when they see something different. They want to know what you know. And it takes practice for us to do that. Your outreach needs to be genuine and heartfelt. I want to encourage us that next week I want to set a goal for you. I want you to talk to one person about coming here. And though you can do more, tell them about why. You can show them our website. Call me if you need to about stuff. But if we all could just invite one person, we'd be hard-pressed for seating. But that's what it's going to start taking, is us putting one person and then doing it. And it's hard. And I know, like, if it's not me, if I don't make a goal, I'll get around to it. So I want us to set that goal for next week. We all ask one person. And I appreciate the time to speak. And, you know, I don't know about you. I may get more out of these than you guys do because you study. And it forces you to study. So I want to encourage you to do that. Will you bow with me now in prayer as we conclude this lesson? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all you do. Not only have you saved us, you've given us a job to do. You've given us a purpose to share your word, to tell others about you. Lord, please give us the strength, the bravery, the courage to go out and do this. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.